When the email came out for the short, locking the door, it said, just ask anybody else if you don't know the code.
Not the same code as the same.
Good morning. Today's here is being sponsored by Erwin Levenbrown, Leila Nishmat's father, Aryeh Ben Yitzchak, and Arturo Stern, Leila Nishmat's mother, Chana Rey Zolbas, Chaim Yosef Yehoshua HaKoli. The Kabbal Gadol is that.
The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chafalas discusses the mitzvah hamakas and eres on Chanuk, and it tells us that mitzvah mishetishka chama ad shetich l'regel menashuk. The mitzvah of Chanuk begins mishetishka chama, literally at sunset. The Rambam interprets that to mean sunset. That is the appropriate time to light. And the Mordechai writes that here Tishka Chama is referring to not sunset, but rather nightfall, based on Kochavim, and hence two different views and two very different practices in terms of when the ideal time to light, either at sunset or at nightfall or perhaps somewhere in between. It continues, Ash Shetich L'Regom and Hashok, as long as people can still be found in the street to be able to perceive the Neros, part of the element of Pirsume Nitzka. There's an important comment that the Ritzvah has in Shabbos and of Chavala, that the Gemara particularly does not tell us an exact amount of time, a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, but rather, because the Ritzvah explains it really is very subjective, depending on society. In some places, Tichle Regem HaShuk can be very, very late. In other places, it can be somewhat earlier. You know, the Rambam writes, in his time, a half hour after sunset, everyone was already at home in bed. It was dark out, and therefore, Tichle Regem HaShuk was a half hour. For us, certainly, it's an expanded window of time of Tichle Regem HaShuk, and therefore, I would suggest that ideally, one could see to it that the Ner Hanukkah continues to burn well beyond the half hour shir that the Rambam mentioned. When the Gemara calls this Braisa, Mishetishka Chama Shetech L'Regam HaShuk, the Gemara has two possible interpretations. But number one is Ilo Adlik Madli. The Braisa is addressing when is it that a person should light. The answer is from Shkia until Shetech L'Regam HaShuk, meaning that if already it's very late and people are no longer found outside at all, so in such a case, the mitzvah has come to an end. You no longer light. Let's use, for example, the Rambam's case, a half hour. That would mean that if it's already beyond that window, beyond the half hour after Shkia, so therefore, one does not light Ner Hanukkah on that particular night. The Gemara then suggests an inami, another possible interpretation of the Braisa, and that is l'shiur, that the Braisa is just simply addressing how much shemen do you have to put in the Ner. The answer is the amount that would burn for this window. Let's assume, as the Rambam writes, that Tishka Chama Shetich L'Regam HaShuk is a half hour. So that means the Ner Hanukkah has to have a half hour's worth of oil. Regardless of when you light, a half hour's worth of oil. The Tosfos raises the following question. That the person, in the time of the Gemara, comes home, and it's very late at night, and he notices that people are no longer in the streets at all. What exactly do you do? The Tosfos writes the Chiddush that Yadlik Misase, that you should still light, but the lighting is questionable. According to the first view in the Gemara, you cannot light anymore. Ilo Adlik Matik, the mitzvah has come to an end. According to the second view of the Gemara, you can. So therefore, under these conditions, according to one view, yes, one view, no, therefore you should light Misase. Lighting Nisafik seems to indicate, as the Pichadash and others write, that you would light without a bracha. I'll perform the mitzvah, but to make a bracha, how can you make a bracha? Therefore, Tosfos's view is la'achar shetich l'regel menashuk. The best that you can do is light, but light without Abraham. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam assumes in Perek Dal, the Tosfos Tanaka, that if it's late at night and people are no longer found in the streets in the earlier times in the Gemara, so in such a case, you do not light. You do not light. Not you light Misafe. There's no lighting. Because the Rambam assumes, the Gemara gives two possibilities, A and B. A, Ilamazik Madik, B, Inami, the Shiura. Are they disagreeing with each other? They're disagreeing with each other in terms of what the Braisa means. What was the intent of the Braisa? But Lahalacha, there's no dispute. There's no dispute. After all, I mean, according to the second view, Inami Lishura, you can light any time that you want. You can light at 3 in the morning, and that's considered to be good. Or, according to the first view, you can put in a drop of oil. Both positions are absolutely true. The disagreement is only what did the Tana in the Braisa mean? Was he referring to Halacha A? Or was he referring to Halacha B? But everyone agrees that both are absolutely true. And therefore, the Rambam writes, there's no leg to stand on at all if you are lighting the Ner Chanukah la'achar shetich l'regal min ha'shuk. If it's so late, there's no basis to light whatsoever. So according to the Rambam's view, if it's late and people are no longer found in the streets, in such a case, that's it. The mitzvah is finished. There's no reason to light. So therefore, the Rambam's view, you don't light, supposed to see light, misafe. There's a third view. That's the view of the Rashba, where the Rashba is bothered by the following. It's Purim, 3 in the morning, right? Someone knocks on your door and says, I didn't hear the Megillah. No, what are you going to tell that person? Too late. Too late? No, not too late. Now, this isn't an ideal position. You should have read the Megillah earlier, and you should have read the Megillah together with a Rov Am, but not too late. No. Kol mitzvah shavalayla mitzvotza, kol alayla amishven dachot. Mitzvah Megillah. If there's a mitzvah to do at night, the idea that a fallback position is any time of the night is considered to be good. So just like you can have Kriya Samegillah at 3 in the morning, why can't you have Hadlaka Samegillah at 3 in the morning? And the Rashi answers, you're right, you can. And this statement of the Gemara that one should light during the window of Shkia Sachama until Tichla Rega Manashub, the Rashi writes only the Chachila. That's the ideal position. But minimally, if no one is yet found in the street, there's still a mitzvah hadlaka independent of Persimmon Issa, just like there's a mitzvah Kriya Samegillah, even though it doesn't lend itself to Persimmon Issa. That's a third view. In the time of the Gemara, very late at night, you didn't light yet, according to the Rashba, light with the bracha. You certainly fulfill the mitzvah. It's not an ideal hadlaka. Ideally, that should be done when there's an abundance of Persimmon Issa, but without that, nonetheless, you light. So three views so far. Now, the Rambam extreme position, you do not light. Tosfos, you light Misafek. The Rashba, you light Betarazmadi. Of course you light. You make a bracha because a mitzvah b'layla is mitzvah kol ha'layla. Even right, if there's no persimmon issa. Just like when it comes to Kriya Samegillah. And then a fourth view is what the Ritzvah calls the name of the Sefer HaTrum. The Sefer HaTrum is right that, you know what, in the time of the Gemara, everyone lit outdoors. Outdoors. You come home that night very, very late, and no one is outdoors. So you have the Sefer Trumas right, light, indoors. So on that night, it doesn't make sense to light outside. No one's outside. Desolate. So light inside. Light inside. That's the fourth view, the Sefer Trumas. A person were to ask, you live in the time of the Gemara, you come home very late at night, what exactly should I do? The four different days. And they're shown in the Rambam, forget it, you're done. And Tosfos let me suffix, the Rashi let the Torah Svadai. The Ritzvah just changed the location, light, indoors. That fourth position, that view of the Ritzvah, the name of the Sefer Trumos, is especially important in light of the Tosfos I mentioned. Because when you look at the Tosfos in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph, Tosfos says this, that you're living in the time of the Gemara, very, very late. What do? You light me suffix. Then Tosfos immediately continues. What about today? What about today? Would you say the same thing? Right, you come home from your business meeting very, very late at night. No one is out in the street. You should light me something. Tulsa says, no, not today. Because today we light indoors. And the fact that no one is up in the street, that's not really so critical any longer. Because we are lighting inside. And the main persimmon issa is for the B'nai Bayit. So The Tosafot says, for us, you can light even at 1 a.m. inside with a bracha. For them, they would light misafek. But for us, you can light inside. So it's interesting that Tosafot says that's true for us. Well, if it's true for us, why wasn't it true for them? No? When they came home very late in the time of the Gemara, why didn't Tosafot suggest like the Sefer HaTrumah? It's just light inside. Tosafot seems to assume that's an option for us, but it wasn't an option for them. The Sefer HaTrumah's main hands. What do you mean? If we do it, they could do it as well. What was that dispute between Tosafot and Sefer HaTrumah? That apparently is a further machloket. As follows. The Gemara tells us, where do you light Ner Chanukah? The answer is, you light outdoors, adjacent to your doorway, the Tefach HaSamachlufet. Then the Gemara later describes that subsequently, there was a Shas HaSakana, a time of persecution, where we were not allowed to light outside. So what exactly do you do? So the Gemara tells us the following, with a Shas HaSakana, all of a sudden now, in that new reality, light indoors. A critical question. Was that something new? Was that a new enactment? The original Takana of Ner Chanukah was only to light outdoors, and that is it. Lighting inside was never an option. All of a sudden, the reality, we can't go ahead and do that. So the Chachamim declared that from now on, we have an option of lighting indoors. Or could one argue that wasn't a new takana? Right? You have to light in your bayis. In your bayis, adjacent to your bayis, that was always the takana. But light where there's an abundance of prisma nisa. So if you can light outdoors, light indoors. If you can't light outdoors, you always had the option of lighting inside. When the Gemara says that if you live in a time of persecution, light inside, that was a new takana, a new enactment. That was just an observation that what was always true then can be true and exercised right now. But it wasn't an intakon in any shape or form. That apparently is the machlokas between Tosus and the Sefer Trumos. Tosus writes, in the earlier time of the Gemara, they didn't have the option of lighting inside. That was not their makom havaka. So therefore, the best they could do was light outside. If it's very, very light, so light outside without a bracha. Tosafot maintains that's not true. That was not a good takana. That was just an observation. That, you know, you have multiple options wherever to light. And the Chacham observed that, look, if you're dealing with a Shas HaSakana, so you have to light inside. But even in earlier times, that was always an option. So therefore, the Sefer HaTrumah writes that you always could go ahead and do so. So Tosafot assumes this was a new takana that we could take advantage of, that they could not. The Sefer HaTrumah writes, what is true now is even true then, and therefore, even in the earlier time of the Gemara, if no one was outside, because it was very, very light indoors. So a further corollary, that dispute as to whether Shas HaSakana was a new takana, or whether that was always the reality. But here I would tell you that this machlokes Tosafot and the Sefer HaTrumah regarding Shas HaSakana, that could very well be in my focus between the Vilna Gaon and the Magen Avraham in the following. In many ways, Ner Chanukah is paralleled after Hadlakas HaNeros in the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting, when you go through the sugyas, how many connections do you find between the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeros and the Mikdash, right, as opposed to that of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. For example, we assume Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. The mitzvah is lighting. Rashi writes, because in the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah was obviously lighting. It was lighting the menorah. That's why we assume hadlaka osa mitzvah. It's not enough to have a ner which is lit, but you have to light. You have to have a bar chiyuva that lights. We assume, for example, osa lehishtamesh la'ora. One is not allowed to benefit from the glow, the radiance, illumination of the menorah. Why is that true? The Ran writes, because it's Dumya de Mikdash, and in Mikdash, of course, you cannot be nehenet from the ore of the menorah, so therefore, that's why also the Ishtamesh. Ner Shabbos, you must be Nishtamesh, that's the mitzvah, Onik Shabbos, you have to use the light. You're not allowed to use the light when it comes to Ner Chanukah, because, as the Ran writes, it's Dumya the Mikdash. There's a fascinating comment of the Ravid in Berak Yudalef of Hilchos Brachos, where the Ravid writes the bracha also indicates the link. Because the Ravid has an unusual position. We discussed this in earlier shiurim. It's a sugyim sotim adam zayin. When do you recite a bracha of al and when do you recite a bracha of lid? Unclear from the Gemara. Many different principles. Al as opposed to lid. But the Ravid has the following view. I'll have to discuss this in a separate shiur. But the Ravid writes, why is it in Kriyas HaMegillah it's al mikra Megillah? And why is it when it comes to Ner Chanukah it's lehavik? Why in the world should you distinguish between those two? Those two. So this is the Ravid sheet that doesn't perfectly fit with all of our brachos, but this is the Ravid sheet that if something is only a mitzvah derabanan, then you recite al. Because liv means a Torah obligation. If it's al, like an al mitzvah yadayim and the like, then that is indicative of a mitzvah derabanan. And that's why al mikra megillah is al and not liv. Okay, doesn't fit in with all, right? There are many different, al mitzvot lulav, the Gemara has a separate reason. The Gemara tells us because li always means lahava. I'm about to perform a mitzvah. Lulav, the Gemara says, the moment you picked it up, you're already outside. The Gemara writes, himself, and therefore, the bracha is al. Again, there are a lot of, if you want an exhaustive discussion, it's found in the Rosh and Sofim, Perek, Aleph, and in Yud. And the Russian Rosh Hashanah Perek Dalit in the Gemara. So that's where there's all the cases, what fits, what doesn't, all the different texts of the brachos. But just to isolate one consideration, the Ravid writes, if it's a mitzvah, the Rabbanan, then al. Okay? He says, well, what about Lahavik Ner, Chanukah? It forms on a Chanukah? No. Here, Chazal instituted a language which is indicative of a mitzvah deraisa d'mitzvah mikdash. That's what the Ravid writes. Because the mitzvah habracha on hadlokas neiros in mikdash was lit. Because that is a din deraisa. In order to emphasize that this is kein deraisa, bringing the mikdash into your home. And it's an extension of, so the language is indicative of such, right, a bracha. That's the Ravid's view. But it's an amazing sheet. I guess to go through all of the cases. But it's interesting that this is instance when it comes to Ner Chanukah, also the Hishamesh the Or, you cannot go ahead and use the one. Now, when the Mechaber posted this halacha of also the Hishamesh the Or, the Mechaber had one line, which is a little bit unclear. What exactly is the source? You're not allowed to go and just casually use the light. You can't just sit there and read your newspaper with the light, illumination of the menorah. But the Mechaber had Afilu Tashmish Shel Kedushin. Even if what you're doing is not just casual, not mundane, you're not just reading the sports column, no. Even the Tzorech Mitzvah, a person is not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah. And that's somewhat questionable. Where did this come from? This line of the Mechaber, Hasli Yishtamish L'Rafil B'Tashmir Shal Kusha, where does that, the Gemara does say, Hasli Yishtamish L'Yara, but how do you know that that prohibition even applies if you're doing it? But you have a mitzvah to do, and I'm still going to tell you, get a flashlight. Don't use the radiance of the menorah even for a purpose of a mitzvah. Where do you see that that's true? So the Zohar Gaon writes, it's a Gemara. But Mechaber is telling you there's nothing new. It's a Gemara. Because the Gemara that you know that a person only has one candle, and it's Shabbos Chanukah. So what does he use that candle for? For Ner Shabbos or for Ner Chanukah? So the Gemara tells us, that's the Gemara, that Ner Shabbos is Shalom Bayis, and Shalom Bayis takes preference over Ner Chanukah. You use it for Ner Shabbos, don't use it for Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara goes, Mother, why do you have to choose? Just use it for the Ner Chanukah. And use it for your Siddur Shabbos, take advantage of the illumination. You're not reading the sports column, this is the Tzorech Mitzvah, this is for the Mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Why do you have to choose? The fact that the Gemara says you must choose, no, that's a giveaway, that you're not allowed to use the Ner Chanukah even for the purpose of the Mitzvah. So So even though you're going to tell me I'm doing it for Omer Shabbos, I'm going to say, but that still is not allowed. And a person will walk into Beis HaMikdash and start using the menorah and say, what are you doing? He says, oh, I have a mitzvah. Now, you're going to say, fine, you have a mitzvah, but that doesn't justify going ahead and doing so. So there's also going right, what seems to be a chiddush in the Mechaber, is really a Gemara. The fact that the Gemara says you have to choose indicates, also yishtam mishlam afilo, v'tash mishlam. So just the following comment. This gon apparently is like the Sefer Trumos, not like those. Because I could have given you a very simple reason why the Gemara tells us that if you have to choose between a Shabbos and a Chanukah, you have to choose. Why? Very simply. Because in the earlier time of the Gemara, where exactly would you be lighting? The Ner Shabbos has to be indoors, and the Ner Chanukah has to be outdoors. So I will tell you just simply pragmatically, you can't use one candle for both. Because the makom hadlaka for Ner Chanukah is outside, the makom hadlaka for Ner Shabbos is inside. So that's why the Gemara says you have to choose. Because you can't practically use it for both. So how is that a raya at all? Apparently the Vilna Gaon assumes that, what do you mean? Push comes to shove, even in the time of the Gemara, if you can't light outside, you can light inside. And therefore the makom hadlaka is not the problem. That's not the problem. That is a surmountable problem. Now, if the only problem with the makom hadlaka, I would have said, just light inside. So why isn't that an option? Why does the Gemara say you have to choose just light inside and use it for Ner Shabbos? The answer is, the reason I emphasize this is exactly the opposite of the Magen Avraham. Because the Magen Avraham later in Tafresh Ayin Ches writes the following, that halach of the Mechaber, that if you only have one candle, you have to choose between Shabbos and Chanukah and use it for Shabbos, the Magen Avraham is something really astounding. That doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh. Because Bizman HaZeh, we light indoors. And if you're lighting indoors, so light it as a Ner Chanukah and use it for Shabbos. What are you going to tell me? You're not supposed to use it for Shabbos. What's the choice? No? If you're going to say you can't use it for Shabbos, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah at all. So better light it as Ner Chanukah and use it for Ner Shabbos than to allow the mitzvah to go unfulfilled. Well, why didn't the Gemara say that then? Why did the Gemara say you have to choose? Oh, because the Magen was assuming Bizman HaGemara, you didn't have an option of lighting inside. They had to light outside. They had to choose. We don't have to make that difficult choice, and therefore we could do so. Because like Tosfos and earlier Tanya, they didn't have an option of lighting inside. That was a later sakana of a Bishas HaSakana. That's an interesting focus between Tosfos and the Sefer HaTrumos. Maybe parallel that view of the Magen Avraham and the Gaon. When we usually think of Chanukah, we often divide Chanukah into two very distinct halves. There was the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, and there was the Nes of the Mechamah. We were saved. We light the Neiros, and we say Hallel, and Al Nisim. And I guess at first glance, that if you ask me, how exactly does it break down, well, it sounds so obvious. But no, because of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, we light the menorah. And because of the nes of the great Yeshua and Nitzachon, we say Hallel and Al Hanisim. So it seems to be a very neat distinction. But now, the Hadlaka Taneros, the Pach HaShemen, and Hallel and Hodah is because, look, we were threatened, we were persecuted, and we were saved. When you look in the Gemara, that doesn't quite sound that way. Doesn't quite sound that way at all. When the Gemara asks the Shabbos and the Chof Alach Medeis, my Chanukah, the Gemara tells the whole story of Nes of the Pach HaShemen, Shabbos Chof Alach Medeis, and then the Gemara concludes, B'shon HaCheres Kivva'um V'asa'um Yimei Halo V'Hodah. And that's why you say Halo. And that's why you engage in Hodah, Rash Reis Hodah, Alan Yisim. That sounds pretty unusual, no? That the Halo And the Al HaNisim is informed by the Nes of the Pach HaShemi. Interesting. And when we light the Ner Chanukah, we recite Haneiros Halalu. Haneiros Halalu was very, very early. Haneiros Halalu was a bris in Maseches Ofen. A bris in Maseches Ofen. Right? This is not just like a much later minute to sing, like a Moed Sur, right? This is a bris, but you have to say Haneiros Halalu. In fact, the order in Maseches Ofen is pretty fascinating. We really don't do this, but the order of Maseches Ofen is you make a bracha of Halik and then you light, then Haneiros Halalu, and then the other bracha. Then the other bracha. The bracha of Shas HaNisim is after Haneiros Halalu. You know why? Because Haneiros Halalu is the Sipur Haneiros. The Sipur Haneiros. And after the Sipur Haneiros, you make a bracha on the Neis. That's the order of Maseches Ofen. Just like at the Seder, that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and after the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, then the bracha of Asher Golanu. Or similar to Kriyas HaMegillah, the Kriyas HaMegillah, the Sipur Haneiros, and then the bracha of the Neis of Harav Esrivenu. Right? That first you describe, and then you culminate with that bracha. Interesting that we recite all three brachas right before the halakha. That was not the minhag in Maseches Ofen. But the Maseches Ofen underscores the importance of Haneiros Halalu. So that's really, really important. It's not just light, and then all the kids leave, and then you kind of sing together Haneiros Halalu with the few that remain. Now, this is really critical. And in Haneiros Halalu, it's unusual. That's where I mentioned the Yeshuos in the Mochanon. Now, we emphasize the great Nitzachon of the Mochama at the time of the Habakkuk Haneiros. So it seems to blur that earlier distinction that because the Nes of the Pach HaShemen Halo V'Hoda, and at the time of Habakkuk Haneiros, we mentioned the Yeshua of the Mochama. So apparently it's not as neat and tight as we would think that there is this distinction. And here I would suggest that the answer is clear. I've often mentioned to you, for me this is like required reading. Now that all my kids know, they have to know this by heart. Now that there's a Ramban at the very end of Parshas Bo. No? Where the Ramban writes that why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed so many nisim in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why were all these nisim necessary? So that's where the Ramban writes, the min hanisim hagdolim hamafursamim of the mode of the nisim hanistar. The purpose of the Neis Nigla is to hone your vision, to be able to recognize that everything is a Neis. Everything is a Neis. It's not for the moment, but rather it's for the legacy, for the enduring lesson, that everything is a Neis. And the Ramban continues and writes, She'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have a share in the Torah. Pretty astounding, no? You don't have a share in the Torah of Hashem. Ad she'namin b'chol v'reinu mikreinu kulam nisim ein ba'olam teva u'minhagu shalom. There is no such thing, the Ramban writes, as a natural process. Nothing is natural. Everything is a neis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMechadish v'tuva choyom tavid, ma'aseh b'reishis. There's certain nisim that occur with such regularity that we view it as a natural process. But everything is a neis. The line is there's certain nisim gulim, and there's certain nisim nisayim, that everything is considered to be a neis. Because when things happen seemingly b'derech hateva, people can be very dismissive, and people can have to recognize the news. So every once in a while, Kadosh Baruch Hu performs a Neis Nigla, and you take a step back and you recognize that, yeah, this is indeed Hashkafas Hashem. The word Neis has a twofold meaning. Neis on the one hand means a wonder, a miracle, a kela, but Neis also means a flag, a banner, an indicator, a sun Neis, the kabeis kol yosenu, kinson Neis. What does that mean? That every Neis is a kela, but it's a flag that you wave. It's an indicator. It's a banner of everything, everything that is. So here I would suggest the following, and that is exactly the link, the fusion, the confluence of the Neis of the Pach HaShem and the Neis of the Milchama. Milchama, for better or for worse, is not so unheard of. And it's not out of the question, it's not unreasonable, but sometimes the underdog prevails. And when that happens in history, people can justify that naturally. That, you know, that the Hashemayim were better trained, better equipped, they were more dedicated, more diligent. The Israeli army is a better army, more equipped, more diligent, and therefore they're able to emerge victorious. It's very easy to view a nace of a Mohammed, the Derech HaTeva, without recognizing this is considered to be Hashkachas Hashem. You know, imagine if you live in that time of Hashemayim, and all of a sudden, you're battling someone. But now, he's telling you this is all natural. Now, this has nothing to do with Yeshua Hashem. And you're telling me, it's not. What do you mean? This is an unbelievable Yeshua Hashem. No? You know, you may not be able to convince that person unless, imagine that you're debating him, and in the corner, there's a Pach Hashem. No? And you know what? You debate the guy for a whole week, and the Pach Hashem continues and burns and burns and burns and burns. What about that? No? That's Derech HaTeva. So that's not the Neis Niglet. That's the Neis Niglet. Of course. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only interested in the Neis Niglet, the Pach Hashem, and Yeshua Klal Yisrael is divorced or void of any Hashgacha Pratit, that's something which is natural. The need for the Nes of the Pach HaShemen was not the Nes of the Pach HaShemen per se, but that was the banner, that was the indicator to hone your vision, to be able to recognize that everything is considered to be part of Yeshua HaShem. And without the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, one will not appreciate the Nes of the Yeshua. And therefore it's necessary above that, that was the critical purpose of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. No, we discussed it earlier, Shirin. The need for Shemen Tahar was not so critical. No, the Gemara Yumadav lifting up your face, Tumahutra, Tumahutra, the Tibur, the Avodah could have been performed even without finding the Pach HaShemen, even without that Nes. But without that Nes occurring, you would have lost that indicator of Uminanisim Hagoma for Samim, of the Modet, the Nisim Hanistari. And that's something that's critical. There's amazing language the Rambam uses during Gimel Achal Chutz Hanukkah to describe Hadlakas and Eros. The Rambam writes that the purpose of Hadlakas and Eros is Laharos Uledalos Hanim. Oh, no? Laharos Uledalos, no? Yeah, I would suggest that's exactly it, no? Laharos is to demonstrate the nature of the Pach HaShemen, but legalos, no? What does that mean, no? Megalet, to reveal, no? The purpose of Halakas Neros is to display the miracle and uncover. Uncover what? Reveal what, no? Reveal exactly this point. I mean, Anisim HaDom L'Forsamim, Adam Moda, Benisim HaNistarim. It sheds light, it illuminates, it radiates the name of the Yeshua. And that's something which is absolutely critical. You know, the famous Kasha, Beis Yossi, but the Meiri asked the Kasha, Shabbat, and Chavala, why 8 days, why not 7 days, they had a Pach HaShemen, many, many different answers. The Meiri's answer is that the very first day we commemorate the Nes of the Muhammad. The Nes of the Muhammad is commemorated through the Hadlakas HaNeiros, through the Hadlakas HaNeiros. And because that is the purpose of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen, to reveal, to uncover that which otherwise can easily be concealed. And therefore, you have to fuse the message of each one of these nisim to see it as one comprehensive manifestation of Hashgachas Hashem. That's something which is absolutely critical. Rishmo Dostoyevsky writes, you know, in Mo's Tzur, we sing B'nei Vina, no? Bina, that's what Bina is, not Rashi writes, no? Bina is lahavin davar mitov davar, no? A person has a very, very quick grasp. He has a perfect recall. No, that's not Bina, no? Bina means the ability to go ahead and to read in, no? To understand A in light of B. Lahavin davar mitov davar. What is Bina regarding this Hadlakas HaNeiros? To be able to read into. Megalos, you know, to recognize that there is more here than simply a nes of a Pach HaShemen. No, that requires bina, Don't forget, you know, if we were to see an Esau Pach Hashem and like, ooh, we'd be wowed, no? But recognize by the Mishnah Avos and Terekei, Nisim occurred every day in the Beis Hamikdash. No? This wasn't so, you know, for us, you see like an Esau Pach Hashem and it's really unbelievable, no? But recognize the commands of Sarah Nisim. Nisim were not so uncommon in the Beis Hamikdash, no? And this was a supernatural reality. And, you know, Chazal never established a Sene Yantif or a mitzvah just because a nes occurred in the Beis HaMikdash. This happened constantly. But the purpose of this nes was not because of the quality of the nes in and of itself, but its ability to go ahead and to shed light. And that is critical. That's something that I think is the lesson of Hanukkah. We've often mentioned a few last 40. You know, when you have a leap year, you have to decide when to read the Megillah. No? So the Gemara says, Adar Rishon, because Ein Mavim Al Mitzvot. If you do a mitzvah now, you can wait a month, so do a mitzvah now. And we don't pass them that way. We assume that you have to wait until Adar Sheni. Why? The Gemara doesn't explain fully. The Gemara says, Mitzvah Geula LeGeula Adim. You have to narrow the gap. You have to juxtapose Purim and Pesach. Why? The Gemara doesn't explain why. But the why, I think, is clear. It's this Ramban. No? Because Purim is characterized by Nisim Nistarim, and Pesach is the model of Nisim Guim, and you can't view these two as being distinct. I mean, Nisim HaGdomo for some of the Moda, the Nisim HaNistarim. You have to narrow that window. So if you have a choice, so the ideal fulfillment would be to narrow the gap between Pesach and Purim. And therefore, Mitzvah, Geula, Geula, Adin. That I mentioned to you even last year that in Purim. When you have a Nes Nigleh, you don't have to know much. You don't require context, perspective, Dina. You see a Nes Nigleh, you recognize that immediately, no? You see a Kriyas Yamzut. I don't have to know who, what, why, where, but, you know, clear this is miraculous. No? Nisim Nistarim are much more subtle. And that requires a breath of comprehension. No? You read the Megillah, you read each and every pasuk, you don't necessarily see the Hashgachas Hashem. But you read the Megillah from beginning to end in a more comprehensive way, you get the panorama, you get the landscape of, do you recognize undeniably how everything unfolds, that all this is considered to be Hashgachas Hashem? It's reminiscent of what the Rabban writes in Parshas Vayeshev. No? You start reading the parsha from beginning to end, you see how everything happened with Yosef HaTzadik in such an unusual way, it became obvious that this was a fulfillment of the Bris Milah design. This was not at all the Derech HaTeva, right? The takeaway, the Ramban writes, of Parshas Vayeshev is Rabos Machshavos Bevish Hatzat Hashem Yisrael. That's the Ramban writes. But now, Yosef is helplessly lost. All of a sudden, Malach comes and directs him to his brothers and everything that follows. Now, to demonstrate that, Hagzeira Emes Vacharitza Sheker. That's the language that the Ramban uses. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is the reality, and your industriousness to try to manipulate that is futile. That's the Ramban writes. Now, that's clear. Sometimes it's hard to see to a people, but with a sense of perspective, you can recognize even Nisim as well. I mentioned to you in Purim, perhaps that's part of the intent of the Mechaber, what the Mechaber writes, that you're about to read the Megillah, Horeis Ki'igeres Kadei Lahara Saneh. No? You have to open the Megillah. No? You can't just read the Pasuk in front of you. Now, the first thing that we do is we open up the Megillah because with that breadth of vision, you're going to see how everything fits together in a perfect way, even if you're not going to find literally the Shem Hashem within the Kriya from Megillah itself. That's the lesson of Nisim HaNistarim. That's something which is critical, critical. Living in the time of Esther Panim, no, you're going to rely on Nisim Guliyim? It's going to be very hard, right, to survive and to thrive. No, you're going to recognize Hashgachas Hashem in everything that occurs. So that's Shuwasam Hayis Salonetza. No? That is an enduring lesson in every shape and form, in every walk of life. And that's why Chazal fused. No, that's why the Gemara describes the nature of the Pach HaShemen, and that's why the Gemara tells us that Lashon Acheret Kiva'um Vosime Halo V'Hodah. The Halo V'Hodah on the Yeshua, on the Yitzchak, that's informed by the name of the Pach HaShemen. And when you light the menorah, you better make sure to say Hanero Talalu, emphasizing the Nitzachon and the Mochoma. Because if you light the menorah without that perspective, that this is what allowed us to emerge the choice of Mochoma, you're missing the whole point, the takeaway of the mitzvah of Halakas Haneros. And therefore, it's not this neat package that there are two distinct halves to Hanukkah. There's the Neis HaPach HaShem and the Neis HaMalchama commemorated and celebrated in very different ways. Certainly not. It needs to fuse. It needs to mend. That's something which is just absolutely critical. Recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Even when things seemingly occur naturally. There's a magnificent mashal of the Kamonis that I mentioned to you once. And that is, there was a sculptor, right, who made a beautiful horse. And he wanted to see how people would respond to that which he was able to create, his work of art. He puts it in the Rishus HaRabim. And he steps back and he sees that no one noticed. Well, he comes home all despondent and all dejected. No one even noticed that which I did. No, that like indifference. No? You know, for Rabbi, give it to Russia. People love it, people hate it. Like, that's great. No, a person like is indifferent, you know, like that has no comment whatsoever. I'd rather have them hate it and battle and tell me why they could disagree. I'm like, nothing, you know? So like, okay. So he comes home like all dejected. So his friends tell him, you know, your creation was so magnificent that people thought it was a real horse. Yeah, when you have a real horse sitting in the street, you know, for us it's like a car parked on the side of the street, you know. You don't take notice. They say, so what should I do? I should create an obvious imperfection, an obvious flaw to demonstrate that this really is not real, that this is a pretty good replica, and therefore, you know, recognize what I've done. So the suggestion was they made to him that, you know, imagine if you were to cut the horse in half. Now, truncate it. Now, it would happen one side of the road, half another side of the road. Everybody would stop and take notice. Now, of a half a horse, you know, like alive and well, right in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, that's a mushroom of the Kadmonim. That's pretty profound. Now, as a Nimshal, like if there would be a Kriyas Yamsov, everybody would stop and take notice. No, Hashgach HaSashem. And when things kind of flow as they normally should, when the sea flows its normal course of Kemayim, Liyam, Mechasim, like no one stops and takes notice. It requires something that's like, which is just unusual for us to recognize. Hashgach HaSashem, that can be. It's a challenge always, especially in times of Hester Panim, is to be able to recognize Hashgach HaSashem in the day-to-day Nisecha Shevachol Yom Imanu, that the Rambam writes, that people tragically dismiss as nature and tragically take for granted. Now that's part of the lesson of times of Hanukkah, that even in times of Golos and even in times of the Golos of Yavon, one could experience Nisim and Hashras Hashchina, and you just have to open your eyes and you just have to like look right and see that indeed it is there. Right? So that in mind, that's when you appreciate the link between the Nes of Hanukkah, of the Pach HaShemen in that time of the Yeshua Hashem. The person that always has to recognize this, even in times of Esara, in times of Gobel, in times of Esther Panim, right? The person has to recognize that all of this is considered to be. And that will tell you is part of the connection, not the coincidence, and it's always the partials of the plight of Yosef HaTzadik that we read during this particular time, because perhaps there's no other greater example of like one series of events after another that the Ramban writes that was obviously a fulfillment of the Brit and of the sign, right? Elohim Chashav Letova, Yosef says to his brothers, that this is clearly the way in which the Midrash writes that it was necessary to begin the Shibud Mitzrayim, that Knesset Yisrael would leave Rav Kush Gadol, how in the world would the Shiftei Kohen Yaakov ever go into Golos? The only way they could possibly do so was by Yosef being there and reunion of the brothers and Yaakov going to see his son. Like, without that, it never would have occurred. And all of this was the Shoshalas HaDvarim, just to see through like that, the Brit Ben Avasarim could be fulfilled. Right? So sometimes it requires a breath of vision. Malcolm mentioned that there's a fascinating Zohar, you know, that sometimes that we're blinded by our limited vision. You know, we only see that which is immediately in front of us. And we rush to judgment. We know this is good, we know this is bad, we know because, you know, who we see. And sometimes the real emunah mitachon means that a person shouldn't be fooled. A person has to recognize that that which he sees is an incredibly narrow window. It's like looking in a panorama through people. Now, all you see is the light. Now, we're not privy to the broadest picture. And the Zohar writes that that's why you have to cover your eyes when you recite Kriya Shema. The part of Kabbalah Samach L'Shamayim is a recognition that you can't be fooled by that which you see in front of you. No, what you see in front of you is a narrow, narrow vision. And the Zohar writes an amazing parallel that here Yaakov was told, you have to go to Mitzrayim. Somewhat of a bittersweet moment, reunion with Yosef HaTzadik, sweet, but the beginning of the Shiva Mitzrayim, the Shiva Mitzrayim. And here the pasuk says, like pretty unusual, but now that the Yosef, Yashis Yado Aleinecha, that Yosef is going to place his hand over your eyes. Difficult, what even is Pashur Pshat in that pasuk? The Zohar writes, that's exactly what it means, a Pashur Pshat. It means that this is like something that is quite dire. You're going into Golos, Shibud Mitzrayim, but in terms of the broadest vision and the broadest perspective, this was the fulfillment of the Brit Ben Avasarim. This would ultimately culminate in the Yeshua Hashem, and one cannot be blinded by what you would see immediately. And the Zohar writes that exact correlation, that we cover our eyes in Kriya Shema, right? Because the Yosef Yashis Yadu Aynecha. That's the Zohar Parshas Vayigash. Now, it's exactly the point. It's one of the most important aspects of Hashkachat Hashem that you have to kind of recognize that what we see is so, so limited, and one has to have the breadth of vision to be able to begin to appreciate Hashkachat Hashem. So part of that is exactly what the Ramban writes, that vision is honed and refined by an experience of a nes nigla, that's a minhanisim, a dhamma for samim, a devote of a nisim. Thank you.